We learn in Acts chapter 17 in verses 26 and 27 when the Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill speaking to the people of Athens, Greece, rank idolaters, pagans who didn't know the one and true God. He was unknown to them. But Paul explains that true God to them, and he says about him in Acts 17 and verse 26, that he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So we're put here in place and time to seek the Lord, to grope for him, to find him. And this is true not only in Paul's day and time, not only in this specific place in Athens, Greece. It's true in Athens, Alabama. It's true in every time, in every place. Notice that he says that this is the way it is for all who dwell on the earth. God has put us here wherever we are, wherever here is, whatever time of history it is. He's put us here to seek him. To seek him. And so in diligently seeking God, we find him by looking for him. That produces faith. And that faith enables us to please the God that we found. There's a lot of unbelief in this world. A lot of people who have not done what God put them here to do, which is to say they haven't been diligent as human beings. You know, the thing I notice about bees is they do what God put them here to do. God put us here, human beings, to seek him. That's what we just saw. And so if somebody doesn't believe in God, they haven't been diligent in doing what God put them here to do. The term that's used a lot today by people who are atheists, who don't believe in God, but who want it to sound more sophisticated, you know, is the term agnostic. And the term agnostic literally means not to know. They don't know. They'll just say, I don't know if there's a God or not. Well, someone who claims to be agnostic usually isn't interested in finding out if there's a God or not. They're characterized by apathy and indifference toward the existence of God. They are not diligently seeking him. They are lazy when it comes to examining the scriptures. And people that I've talked to who are agnostic, they think they know a few things about scripture. They usually, what they quote is quoted out of context, what they really haven't studied. They don't want to seek God. They don't want to look into what purports to be his word and what is his word to find him. They're not diligent. Agnosticism is the admission of sloth. I find interesting what Jesus says to the Jews in John chapter 6. You remember the story. He's fed the 5,000, gone across the sea to Capernaum. A lot of people followed him. They were looking for another meal, basically many of them. But in John 6 and verse 28, in conversing with Jesus, they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. You see, believing is a work. Believing takes work. Believing requires diligently seeking God. And the problem with the people in John chapter 6 is that they weren't seeking, really, God. They were seeking bread. They wanted another free meal. So the thing that you're seeking in life often will, of course, determine what you find in life. But if you're not seeking God, you're not going to find him. And if you're not diligently seeking him, you're not going to believe in him. Believing in God, finding him, means that we will diligently obey and serve him. We are to obey with diligence. In Psalm 119 and verse 4, the psalmist notes, speaking to God, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. The psalmist may well be referring back to the book of Deuteronomy, where in fact Moses, in recapitulating the law to the Israelites right before they enter the promised land, says to them in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 17, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you." Diligently keep them. So the psalmist is I think, referring back to that command. You have commanded us to diligently keep it. And all the years later, however long it was, between when that was said and when Psalm 119 was written, it was understood that God's people were to diligently keep his... What does that mean? What does it mean to diligently keep his commands? Well, that means you're careful about knowing what his commands are, first of all, and then making sure you do all of those things. And I know what you're going to say. Well, maybe you won't. Hope you don't. But what a lot of people would say, when I would say that diligently keeping commandments is what God wants us to do, they would say something like, "That sounds like legalism." Yeah. Right. Well, if commandment keeping is legalism, I'm not always sure exactly what people mean by legalism, but if by that they mean commandment keeping, we need more of it. Now, we're not going to be justified by perfectly keeping law. If that's what they mean by legalism, that's another story. But we need to diligently keep the commandments. The Israelites certainly did. And in order to keep the commandments diligently, first they had to know them thoroughly. And so right back there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we know the passage, right? In verses 6 and 7, about 10 verses earlier than the verse I read a moment ago, "These words which I command you today," Moses says, "shall be in your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So to diligently keep the commandments, you have to be diligent about knowing the commandments. You can't keep them if you don't know them. How diligent are we in those respects ourselves? Still today, this moment, God wants us to diligently keep his commandments. Jesus says repeatedly things like, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If we have found God and believe in him and want to please him, we will diligently keep his commandments. But in order to do that, we must know what they are. When Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the New King James Version has it this way: "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Know what's in God's word, know how to use God's word, know how to apply God's word, Timothy, because you're to be a worker. What do you think of when you think of, I say, well, that person's a worker. He's like a bee. He's a worker bee. Timothy is to be a worker, to be diligent in understanding and applying the Word of God to his life and as he teaches others. So we learn with diligence, and we take what we learn and we apply it meticulously and consistently to our lives. See, what we're doing here in way of learning God's Word, studying, hearing, is of little value if we don't take it and put it into practice. And nobody can do that for you. You have to be diligent. You have to do that. So then we serve with diligence. Romans 12 and verse 11, Paul encourages us to not be lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When it comes to doing the things that we found that God wants us to do, that he expects of us in his commandments, then we diligently do those things. We diligently sought to learn them, and now we diligently serve him in doing those things. The widow who's worthy of support, that's described in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, it says about her that she is well reported of for good works, brought up children, has lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So she's found what God says he wants her to do. which includes serving others and doing good works. And now she diligently finds works to do and accomplishes those. She's careful and consistent about that. Painstaking about doing good works. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, a little bit earlier, Paul is encouraging us to use the abilities that God has given us. And he says, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. I'm so thankful here at Eastside that we have diligent leaders. I tell you what, there's been a lot added to the burden of overseeing in the last couple of years with all that the world and our congregation has been through with health problems and everything that's coming up and trying to arrange worship assemblies where we can honor God and still be safe and all the many things that have gone into leadership here at Eastside and still caring for each and every individual soul, each and every individual sheep. And I appreciate that our leaders lead with diligence. That's what we've needed. That's what we've needed. We must diligently serve in whatever capacity it is. That's what Paul's point is. Whatever we're given to do, be diligent in it. Serve with diligence. Everybody can't do everything. That again is Paul's point in Romans 12. We have gifts differing according to the manifestation that God has given to us. We have differing gifts, but we're to use them, whatever they are, and to be diligent in using them. Thirdly, let's be diligent in our efforts to go to heaven. And ultimately, that's what our theme is about this year, isn't it? Running with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Heaven itself is the ultimate outcome of all of that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, this is put in different ways, and I'm going to look at about four different passages as we consider being diligent to go to heaven. First of them is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter says, "For this reason, this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Twice in this passage, Peter encourages his readers to give diligence and then to give more diligence to the things that he's talking about. First of all, he says, if you have faith, and that's our starting place, right? We diligently seek God and we have faith in Him as a result. Then we add to our faith what are sometimes called the Christian virtues, whatever you call them. There are things that we grow in and develop in and are diligent about growing and developing in. Virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And we're meticulous and careful and consistent in seeking to do more and more of those things better and better. There's no limit to them. So we add those things with diligence. That's the first thing I see in this text. What helps me to be diligent is to remember consistently and constantly the cleansing from my sins. Notice what he says in verse 9. If you lack these things, if you're not being diligent in these things, so that means you're lacking in these things, you're short-sighted, even to blindness, and you've forgotten that you're cleansed from your old sins. There are days that I have lived that I know I have said I would never forget. that are long forgotten. But I have never forgotten the day that I was cleansed from my sins. Never forgotten it. That's something, if we remember, you remember the feeling? You remember the experience? That empowers diligence. I was cleansed. I was set free from the bondage of sin. I suddenly had a hope of heaven where I was without hope before. Don't forget that. Don't forget that you were cleansed from your sins. And then he says, be even more diligent then to make your call and election sure. God has called us to glory. He's chosen us as we have responded to the gospel. And we need to make that call and election sure. That is to say, we're making it solid. We're making it something that's a certainty by being diligent. And the final thing I want to notice about this passage is that if we do those things, we'll never stumble. Have you ever been watching a race, maybe a long distance race, and seen somebody fall? I've seen that several times. There are two or three really famous races in the Olympics where a runner fell and was not able to complete the race. A couple of times the favorite in a long distance race has fallen and was not able to complete the race or lost their rhythm and was not able to come back. A race of endurance is greatly helped if you can keep from falling. Right? If you can stay upright and keep moving forward. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. So be diligent to do these things, Peter's telling us. Your calling and election depend on your diligence. Do you see that? Your calling and election depend on your diligence. You're called through God's grace. That's a given. But to make them sure, it depends on your diligence. Secondly, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Peter there says, after he's talked about the second coming of the Lord, the certain destruction of the world, he says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and without spot and without spot and blameless. The Lord's coming again. That's Peter's message. This old earth is going to be burned up. Day of the Lord's coming. We need to be ready. Living lives of holiness, he says a little bit earlier. What can I do to make sure that I am without spot and blameless before the Lord when he comes again? He doesn't tell me what to do other than to be diligent to do it, right? He's not specific about, well, here are the steps that you take. But he says, you better make sure, you better put consistent effort, be diligent to be found without spot and blameless before the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Avoid temptation. Resist temptation. If I give in to temptation, confess it. Seek God's forgiveness immediately. Turn away from it. Those are the ways the Bible says to overcome sin through the blood of Jesus. I need to be diligent about those things. I don't need to let, temptation linger in my life. I don't need to let sin linger in my life. If I've got sin in my life, if you've got sin in your life this morning, you need to take care of it. Be diligent to take care of it. And I mean right now. Be diligent to be without spot and blemish. You see, there's no excuse. There's never an excuse for a Christian, for a child of God, to have the sin of stain in his life. You be diligent. That's your responsibility. to be without spot by availing yourself of the blood of Jesus Christ, applying it to your life the way God has told you to. Confess that sin. Pray for forgiveness. Turn away from it. Be diligent. Entering into rest depends on your diligence. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." In that context, of course, he's talking about comparing our salvation to the situation with the Israelites marching in the wilderness, who, the vast majority of whom, never made it to the promised rest. Didn't enter the promised land. Their bodies fell in the wilderness because of disbelief and disobedience. It's the point he repeatedly makes in that context. But he says we have to be different. So be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, the same example as the Israelites who fell in the wilderness. There's no coasting into heaven, folks. There's no, well, I can just totally relax now. Everything that Scripture says to us about living life and running our race indicates that it's going to take effort to the very last breath. Oh, please again, we're not earning it. We don't deserve it. Only by God's grace is anybody ever going to be saved. But God expects us to run with endurance, and we must. To make our calling and election sure. To be diligent to enter that rest. Inheriting the promises depends on your diligence. A little later in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6 and verse 10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. The people that the writer is addressing here are people who have done a lot of good works. They have been diligent. And God's not going to forget that, he's telling them. But we, he says, desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't quit running. Don't stop being diligent. Don't stop being careful about keeping the commandments, about serving others, about doing God's will. Keep on keeping on. Be diligent that you may not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All of these passages, and actually quite a few more than that we could offer, just fly in the face of the notion that we don't have to make any effort to go to heaven. Over and over again, in each of these passages, we're told to be diligent. To be diligent. To be diligent. So that we can go to heaven. As we close this morning, I want to share one more passage with you. It's from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The most important issues in life for this are these. Do you believe in God? Are you serving Him? Are you going to go to heaven? Folks, those are the most important issues in life. Keep your heart with all diligence. If your attitude is right, if your heart is right, if your emotions are right, you'll be diligent in believing in God, in obeying and serving Him, and striving to go to heaven. When our attitude and affections are centered properly, we'll be diligent in everything else. So that just brings us to the question, where's your heart this morning? Where's your heart? Have you been diligent in faith and service? Have you been diligent in keeping yourself pure? If there's anyone who needs help with that this morning, would need to confess a sin before us, and perhaps somebody who's not a Christian, who's never really started the race, and you're ready to obey the gospel, however we might help you, We'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.